Blog Talk Radio.
You wanna be real. You wanna be empty inside. You wanna be someone. Laying down your pride. You wanna be someone someday. Lay it all down before the king. Oh yeah. You wanna be whole. You wanna have purpose inside. You wanna have virtue. And purify your mind. You wanna be set free today. Lay it all down before the king. This is my desire. This is my return. This is my desire to be used by you. Wanna be real, you wanna be emptied inside, and I know my heart is to feel you near, and I know my life is to do your will, is to do your will. This is my desire.
Happened during this program to a lot of people there, and
And I talked to Elevate 8 Nation, and he was there too, and he gave his testimony of some of the healings and some of the things that he saw happen there too. And it was a lot of amazing things. And I saw a lot of people that was lukewarm. It got on fire there at the conference. And, boy, they was really running for the Lord and out there really spreading the good news about the Lord to everybody in Wilmington that weekend. And they're really wanting everybody to get on fire and run and tell the good news to everybody all over the United States, wherever they came from. They want you to go home and spread that fire to each and every person, not just there at the conference, but to everybody. And that's what we're going to be talking about today. Are you lukewarm with Christ? And one thing that I could really, really say is, you know, these days when people play church, they go to church every Sunday, and, you know, they're there for their religious event, and then they go home and they go back to their lifestyle, and they don't really change. But they know about Jesus. They say, you know, their prayer over their meal, and that's about as far as it goes. That is not even really lukewarm. That's kind of like cold. But, you know, lukewarm is when you're at least going to a Bible study every once in a while, or you're at least, you know, looking at the Bible every once in a while. But are you really making an impact for the kingdom? Are you really out there saving souls? I mean, if you're really waiting for these souls to come to your church without bring them to your church without introducing them to Christ, or at least, you know, show them what Christ can do. I mean, you ain't really doing your part. The one thing we got to understand is that the church is not a building or a place for everybody to hang out. The church is you. You are a building of God. God is living inside of you. You are the church. You're not just a group of people. You are a church building. You are holding the light of God. When you're saved and Christ is living within you, you're holding the light of the world inside of you. You're carrying him with you everywhere you go. And the thing of it is when you're going to another person, you're carrying a light. The kingdom is within. The kingdom is at hand, like Jesus was saying, at hand. Where are you going with the kingdom that's inside of you? Are you just letting it sit there and grow cold and the Holy Spirit scratching his head like, when are you going to use me? You know, that type of thing, or you are actually going out spreading the good news of Christ, you know, healing the sick, letting the Lord touch people. Are you doing that, or are you at home watching TV or watching The Price's Right? I mean, come on, guys. I mean, what are you doing? That's what we're talking about here today. And we're gonna get right down into it. Now, Robert, what did you find out on that topic today?
Well, one of the things that we need to focus on closely is where that is used in Scripture. That word is only used in one place that I could find in Scripture, and that's in Revelation chapter 3 in verse 16. It says, "So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth." Okay, I'm going to stop there. It is very dangerous to just take a Scripture like that and just read that and say that this is what we have to focus on, because there's some things that was spoken of before that verse, and then there's some things, very important things, that is spoken of by Jesus after that verse, because this right here is the Lord speaking to us, okay? So what I want to point out is this: the lukewarm church, what has happened here is for years, we have taught that lukewarm means that you're doing what's right one minute, you're doing what's wrong the next minute, and because you're not living, you're going to be spewed from his mouth. I've heard people preach sermons that says that that's what he's talking about, but it's clear that that's not what he's talking about. And I'm going to read what else he says in verse 17. It says, "Because you," key word here, "say, I am rich, and I am increased with goods, and I have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked." This is Jesus pointing out what lukewarm is. Lukewarm is people who are born again trying to live by the law. The law is what Father gave to the children of Israel, Exodus 20, thou shalt not, and he gave it to them because they were trying to say that they could do something in their own ability, that all they needed was for Moses to go and talk to God for them, but they could handle whatever set of guidelines he handed down to them. They were self-sufficient. They didn't need God. Jesus is pointing this out right here in verse 17, because you said, I am rich and have need of nothing. You hear that? The similarities in what they did in Exodus, which caused the law to be handed down to them in the first place. The law was given to expose what was contrary within man to God and his will, the Father and his will. The law was given to reveal to man that he would never be able to measure up to Father's standard in his own ability. The law was given to shut down religion, man trying to get to God in his own ability, man trying to live self-sufficient, thinking that his deeds of good would get him relationship with God. That's what the law was given for, to shut that down, to shut them up, and to cause them to come to the end of themselves and to realize that they need a Savior. That's what the law was given for. And Jesus breaks that down the further you go into that chapter. In verse 18 it says, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried with the fire, that you may be rich, and white raiment. White raiment is he has washed you in the blood, made you clean, that you may be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. What does that sound like? That sounds like grace. That sounds like you accepting the gift of God, which clothes you in righteousness, which cleans you up, takes away your shame, because nakedness means shame, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that you may see, that you may comprehend, understand, as Father, what Father's doing. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him, and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. Jesus is telling us that we have to accept him, that we have to receive him, and that we have to live by grace through faith. You cannot mix grace and law together, because it breeds confusion, which will cause you to come up short, give Satan inroad to your life, be able to point the finger at you when you fail, because it's not within man to be able to save himself. It's not within man to walk a life that pleases God without God doing it for him. Father did it for us in Christ Jesus by grace through faith are we saved. And we think that we can do anything to save ourselves, that Jesus is not enough. We got to do this, thou shalt not, we got to do this, we got to do that. That's law, that's bondage. And he does not want us trying to live in bondage and live free at the same time. It's lukewarm, and it will cause you to be confused, and it will open the door to the enemy to bring condemnation, guilt, and shame to you when you fail. The enemy will point his finger in your face. He will eat your lunch and pop the bag in your face if you let him.
Amen.
That's what Jesus is talking about.
And Robert, I really think that's where a lot of people get lost. I mean, they've got one minister preaching the law, and they've got another one preaching grace, and they, and then once they get the grace down pat, and then they start hearing the preacher down the street preaching law, well, that ain't true. If you do that, you're going to hell, you know, that type of stuff. And then, then the Christians walk, and they're like, what do I believe? Am I going to hell, or am I going to heaven, or, you know, saved to Jesus, but I'm scared that I'm going to lose it. And the truth is, you can't lose your salvation. Once he's given it to you, you already have it. And
that's
you,
right.
I mean, it's already all been done. And, I mean, over the years myself, I mean, I came from a weird background. I came from a Lutheran church.
I came from a Unity church, which is kind of metaphysical and this and that. And I was kind of, you know, the Lord worked on me quite a bit, redoing everything that I was learning. And kind of mixing things up and putting things in the right places where they belong. And it took me a while to put them in the right places and all that. And I'm still learning to this day. I mean, we all in the body of Christ are learning each and every day. But the thing of it is that if you go to the wrong place and you've got a minister that's mixed up, he can be leading people, putting people in hell himself. I mean, he could have like a sliding board in front of him. They're just going right down because they're not hearing the truth. He is mixed up himself, and he's sliding them right down to the pit because they can't find no way out of it. And I saw people have family members is teaching their own kids this stuff, and they're so lost. They're out here dealing drugs. They're out here doing things because they're lost, and their parents know no different, and they're putting this in their heads, and they think they have no way to God. They're like, you know, everything I do is wrong. Then in their mind, they're, all these laws are lined up that these Jewish folks had back thousands of years ago, and they think they're going to do it. But Jesus already did all that. He's already walked the walk, talked the talk, and died on that cross for you. And all the thing you got to do is put your trust in Him and accept Him in your heart, and let the Holy Spirit come on you. Let Him do what He needs to do, and you're good to go. But they don't really understand that. They don't really get that. And the thing of it is, there's a thing that I saw. I think it was on what was that love DVD I let you borrow?
Furious Love.
On the Furious Love DVD, they had a minister talking about he had a dream of a big church with dope dealers, prostitutes, and all of them was in his church, and they was in there shooting up. They was in there doing all the bad stuff, and before he knew it, he got in the church. He's like, "Y'all get out of here! You get out of my church! You don't be doing that in my church! You leave!" And all of a sudden, Jesus stood right in front of him. He said, "It's not up to you to take care of these people." He said, "It's up to me to work on them." He said, "Let me do my job, and you do your job." So the thing of it is. Yeah. So the thing of it is, Jesus has to work on these folks. We can't do it. We always think we got to chase these people down and tell them what they're doing is wrong. Then we get into the law. We get in the law trap. And when we get in that law trap, we're locking our own selves in this thing that we can't really pan out because we're doing these things too, and God's still working on us as He is those other people. And then we get stuck in that. We're in like law paper, and we can't get out. You know, and then they're going to start throwing it back at us. Well, look what you do. And look what he did. Look what you did, you know, all that. And you're like, oh, man, I'm just flypaper. Before you know it, you can't get out of it. That's the trap that God put on the Jewish folks because they wanted that trap. They had to be showed that they could do, like you said, they could do nothing without God there. They could do nothing, but they thought they could. See, that's why he had to send his son down for you. Go ahead, Robert.
I was going to say they thought they could save themselves, and that was the whole point of the law. The law was to show you that you can't save yourself, that you have to come to the end of self and realize, I need a Savior. I need Jesus. I cannot save me. We were slaves to sin. We were slaves to the curse. We were under the thumb of the enemy, and we had nothing. There was nothing, no amount of money, no amount of good deed, no amount of anything that we could do that could save us. So Father provided the Lamb who took away the sin, the thing that hindered and kept us from being able to fellowship with Him the way that He desired. Father did that through love, through grace, through the sacrifice of Jesus' Son. We have total access granted to us once again. But once we come in, we're supposed to get a hold of that reality, to that spiritual reality, and run with it and not go back to the old, not go back to the law, trying to do it in our own ability, trying to be good enough to get to God. Well, don't you know there was a group of people, a group of Jews whom they called the Judaizers, who after people started getting born again, the Judaizers would come in and say, okay, yeah, you can believe in Jesus, but you also got to honor the laws that Moses handed down. And Paul said, if anybody come to you preaching that garbage, Paul said, let damn them to hell. They are, let them be accursed. He said it twice. Let them be accursed if they come to you trying to preach anything contrary to the gospel. The gospel is the good news, the news that is too good to be true, that Father provided the Lamb, that Father made the way through Christ Jesus, who's the way, the truth, and the life. If you trust in him, you are saved. That's the only way to be saved. No amount of good can save you before you accept him, and no amount of bad can keep you from going to Father's presence after you leave here. Your salvation is based on Jesus and not what you do. And that's what's wrong with preaching law after you come to Christ through grace, because it will breed confusion and it will cause the born-again person to not understand whether or not he's supposed to pursue God this way or that way. If you love God and you follow God by grace through faith, then Satan has no way to trap you. But he can trap you if you're trying to live by the law. If you live the law and you break one, you're guilty of breaking them all. So leave that alone, because Jesus fulfills the law for us, so we don't have to try to live by the law. He is the law fulfilled, and we are in him. So by grace and faith, we live our lives in Christ each day, pursuing relationship with Father the way that he desires for us to pursue relationship with him, not confused, but knowing him through the intimate, personal relationship Jesus has provided to us because we accepted Father's gift of salvation. Amen?
Amen. Amen.
God is
now,
good.
I was listening to Todd up there at the Power and Love. He was talking about the goofy grace people. And we're not talking about the goofy grace people type of thing. We're talking about the grace of God. You do got to ask the Lord to come to you, and you've got to, you know, give yourself over to the Lord. And when you do something, when you're feeling something real bad that you've done, and you feel really, you know, the Lord is really pushed on your heart, you're supposed to give that to the Lord. He takes that freely. He don't stop. Well, you've got to say 15 prayers. He takes that freely. And I think one of the bad things that a lot of us does, we're so proud. We're too scared to give up things that we've done. Like, you know, I did that, but I ain't gonna admit to it. The Lord already knows what you've done. He already knows exactly what you've done. Give it to him, and he'll take it and clean it. It's that easy. I mean, it's no thing to give it to him. I mean, I can't tell you how many times I've gave so many things to the Lord that I've done. I've repented. I say, Lord, take this. He takes it. He cleans me. Now, I'm not going out here doing things just where I can, you know, say, here, Lord, go. I'm going to do something again. No, that is kind of doing it on purpose. But when you're wanting to give it to the Lord, he will take it and try to renew you. And when you're giving things to the Lord that you've done and you're really pent up about it, he will work on you to change you.
Mm-hmm.
That's the thing.
Mm-hmm.
He'll work on you to change you. And you're supposed to be have a repentant heart. You're supposed to want to repent. And the difference between that and the Jewish way is that they would repent and they'd kill these lambs and all this crazy stuff. And then, you know, then they still fall short. But once you repent to Jesus Christ as your Savior, it's done.
Yeah.
He says, you know, it's done once and for all. It's no longer there. But the thing of it is, you've got to let him change you. You've got to let him change you. And that's one point that a lot of people forget. They're like, you're good to go. You can go and do whatever you want to. God's got your back. Let's go and party, you know, that type of thing. We ain't talking about that. You know?
Hey, you know what you just said? That's sloppy grace, what you just said. That's what they call sloppy grace. And that's not what grace is. You don't need a license to sin. Grace is not a license to sin. We didn't have no trouble sinning before we accepted Christ. We didn't need a license.
Yes.
So grace is not about going out and sinning and it being forgotten. What you got to realize, when you truly understand grace, you're going to live your life to please your Father. You're not sitting around thinking about going out committing adultery and doing things that you know are contrary to his will. Do you know that sin ain't just going out and drinking a beer and partying and getting drunk and doing crazy stuff? We've narrowed it down to that, but sin is allowing sickness and disease and poverty and lack to rule over your life after he has broke the curse over our lives. That's sin.
Amen.
If you accept it and you allow it to happen and live and dwell in you, then you are in sin. Okay, now what you going to do? Come on. Because, see, there's so many people trying to point at the ones who are out here struggling that you can physically see their struggle and forgetting that they're allowing themselves to get common cold and flu and stuff, and then they put their trust in a pill or a flu shot to try to get rid of it, when Father has provided everything, healing, deliverance, prosperity. Salvation includes forgiveness, healing, prosperity, and deliverance. But we have got it so mixed up. Satan's just using the law to keep God's people in bondage. And the churches are out here teaching that, yeah, if you do this and you do that, you're going to hell. But last week you came to the church and you got born again drunk. And then you go out a week or two. You know what I'm saying? The next week you go out and you drink, and all of a sudden you're going to hell. Okay, that means your salvation was based on you and what you do and not what he did for you. And that's what's messed up.
Yeah.
That is what's so messed up with what's going on in the body of Christ. That's why the power is not there. That's why it looks like the church is schizophrenic, because they have painted this picture and they're pushing people away with that garbage that keeps spewing out of their mouth instead of the love and the compassion and the mercy that our Father is consumed with. He is the ultimate love. He is everything that is good and every perfect gift. That's who he is. That's what he is. And he's trying to show us that so that we can depend on him. And by grace, you live a life dependent on him. Through the law, you live trying to do it yourself, exempt of him. So that's what's the difference. And that's what's so wrong with trying to mix the two. It will confuse you, and it will cause you to come up short, and it will give the enemy inroad to point the finger at you when you fail. So by grace, you're not even worried about that kind of stuff. You're focused on him living his life through you if you truly understand grace. God is good.
Amen. And the main thing is, you know, is your relationship. I mean, a lot of people say, you know, they have fear of the Lord. But the fear of the Lord, I mean, I've said this on the show 100 times. I'm going to say it again. The fear of the Lord ain't you being scared of the Lord. It's you being fearful of his presence leaving you. You want to stay in his presence at all times. You want to have a communication with him all the time. If you've never practiced that communication with him, pray for him, wait for him to come to you and fall in love with him. When you fall in love with him, when you fall in love with a loved one, you don't want this person to leave. You want to call him on the phone 24/7 because you're in love with him. You need that communication with the Lord. And when you have that communication with God, then you will have that fear that he might run or he might do something. He promised he won't, because he won't. But you want to be there. You don't want to get away from him. That's the fear he wants. He don't want the fear of the scared, the dark fear. He wants the good fear. He wants you to always want him in your presence. He just wants you. He wants to draw you to him. Underneath his wing is what he wants. And the thing of it is, a lot of people don't know that. They are scared to death that God's going to strike them dead with a lightning bolt or something. Oh, you know, soon the preacher talks, you know, God sees that, and he knows what you've done. And it's like his one song says, says, you know, little child, you know, God loves you. He's always looking at you. You don't want to be doing that in front of him because, you know, he's going to see what you've done. You know, it doesn't go in that detail, but like the song was saying, it was saying, little child, be scared because you don't want him to see what you're doing because if you, way they make it sound like is like if he does see something, he might do something to you. So little child,
wow.
Don't let him. Now, I mean, any type of song I hope my kids listening to. They're like, oh man,
wow.
God saw me.
Wow.
Take that cookie. God knows what he's gonna do to me. You know, I want my kids listening to that. You know, but the thing of it is, we're so used to hearing this. We're so used to hearing this, and then when we're when we're spewing this stuff to our kids, what type of relationship we're gonna have with God?
Mm-hmm.
They think he's a big naughty guy up there pointing his finger. And that's what the enemy wants you to believe. He wants you to believe that. He wants to throw his drugs, his pills. He wants to drag you so far down that you don't even know about God. You have no idea nothing about him. You're scared of him. And you're going to run every time you hear God because he's going to point at you and he's going to condemn you, and then he's going to pull you down with him because Satan's already condemned. He has no hope. His hope has been decided a long time ago. He wants to drag you down with him is what he wants.
That's right.
Like they say, misery wants company. He wants you to come with him. If you have hope, he don't. So he wants to drag with him. He wants to drag as many as he can down with him.
Come on.
So do you want to be an extra one with him hanging on your coattail, or do you want to hang with the Lord and go up to heaven and live with him for eternity, or live with the other one for eternity? It's up to you. You can hang on that wall and be scared to death of everything that you do, and you can, you know, live in misery. And before you know it, you've already gave up the Lord because you're scared of him. Because Satan wants you to believe that. Or do you want to live in love and passion and love people and bring them to the Lord and live a full life? I mean, it sometimes it's common sense. But a lot of times, you know, some preachers just don't want you to look at that and hear that because, you know, the more they can scare you into the door, the better off they are. But it's not that good for your soul. I mean, we don't want to scare you here on the hill and life. We want you to come to the Lord. We want you to make that relationship with him. We don't want you to be lukewarm. We want you to be on fire for the Lord. We want to see you do a tremendous passion to people out here on the street, tell them about the Lord, to heal the sick, raise the dead. We want all that for you. We want the full power of God in your life every day.
Yes.
We want to see you united like a flame where they say, that one there is a Christian. He's on fire for God. That's what we want.
Yeah.
We want you to be like
him. Yeah.
When you come up amongst them, they're going to say, you know, the kingdom of God has just came up near us because the kingdom of God's in that guy, and I want that in me. That's what I want for everybody out here. I want everybody to have the kingdom of God on fire inside of them, and they know that the kingdom of God's in them because the Bible says so, and they don't got some preacher trying to cover it up because it's revealed. And ain't no way to hide something when it's on fire like that, you know. So
that's right. That's right.
That's what we're wanting on here.
Yes, amen.
And there's a lot of people. There's a lot of people out here. There's people out here healing on the streets. They're bringing people into the church. And they're scared of that. I mean, the first thing when somebody's out here, you know, evangelizing on the street or healing the sick on the street, the first thing they'll say, that's witchcraft. Because they're not on fire for God. They don't know how to do it. They want to knock them down for what they're doing. They should be beside them doing the same thing. They're cutting them down. They should be beside them doing the same thing. That's the thing. Instead of trying to cut their cords and pull them down, they should be on the street right beside them doing the same thing because, like I heard tonight off of TV, there's people dying out there. There's people, you know, losing their lives out there. There's people suffering out there. They need Christ. Mm-hmm. They need Christ desperately. And what are we doing?
Mm-hmm.
We're sitting at home watching MTV or watching CBS or watching whatever. I mean, we ain't doing nothing.
Mm-hmm.
We're doing the exact same they are while everybody's out suffering and going to hell. I mean, what are we? I mean, are we the body of Christ or are we just footstones for Satan to walk on anytime he wants to? I mean, it's up to you. You want to be a footstone for the enemy, or do you want to be on fire and letting the enemy be your footstone while you rub him into the ground. I mean, it's up to you. I mean, it's plainly up to you. But the purpose of this whole show, the purpose of this whole show is to get you lit up for you to do amazing things for the kingdom. Go ahead, Robert.
Hey, I was going to put in right there with what you just said. You know, remember when I did the teaching about what's the difference between a disciple and a convert? A disciple is a person who gets on board with Jesus, and he comes through the door, and he walks the walk, and he learns how to talk the talk and do the do. He's focused on Jesus. He's a student, a pupil, and he learns what is necessary to please the Father through the Son. A convert is a person who accepts him, gets in the door, and stops. That's what's wrong with most Christians today. They have come in the door, and they have stopped. They have got stuck at the door. And because they've got stuck at the door, they are confused. They don't know. They're straddling the fence because they come at the door and got stuck. They're not sure about the simplicity of the gospel. Do you remember it's written that that even babes will understand? Do you remember hearing that scripture? Do you know where that scripture is, or remember hearing or reading that scripture?
Yeah, that, sure does.
Okay, think about that for a second. It's the gospel is so simple that babes can understand. Newborn Christians have the ability to understand the message of grace and truth that Jesus preached, which is that you are set free if you accept me. That's what Jesus preached. If you accept me, believe on me, you are saved. It's so simple that babes can understand. Converts, they get that part, and then they don't go any further. And because they don't go any further, they're not completely sure of the gospel. They're not sure. They're easily deceived. Somebody can say something to them, and they can be tossed to and fro by any wind of doctrine. And the enemy will use the law and the world and things against them to keep them from ever growing up and maturing, because they're not being discipled to Christ so that they can grow up into the same figure as Christ Jesus himself while they're still here alive and living in the earth. That's the purpose and plan of our Father sending him, so that we could have an example to look at and to follow, to see what Son of God looks like and then duplicate what we see. That's what he's all about.
Amen.
To make disciples. Amen. Hallelujah.
I mean, I know he also says in Matthew, I'm thinking, is that he says, come to me, my yoke is easy. He doesn't say, come to me, and I got 5,000 different books you got to read before you can understand who I am. And then you got to read it. He says, come to me, my yoke is easy.
Yeah.
So what he's saying is, come to me, I ain't hard to understand.
That's right.
That's what he's saying.
That's right.
Come to me.
Hallelujah.
It's not hard to understand.
Amen.
So you come to the Lord, his yoke is easy. And at this time, as I say this, anybody wants to accept Christ, I ask you to say this simple prayer with me. Say, Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
I repent of all the sins I've ever done.
I repent of all the sins I ever done.
I invite you in my heart.
I invite you in my heart.
I believe that you died on the cross for me.
I believe that you died on the cross for me.
And I believe that you rose on the third day for me.
And I believe that you rose on the third day for me.
And I trust you to be my Lord and Savior.
And I trust you to be my Lord and Savior.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah.
If you just say this prayer, the Lord has just came into your heart. Father, I ask you to hit them with the fire of the Holy Spirit and just reveal to them what their purpose is, the newborn Christian's purpose is right now in Jesus' name. Lord, I ask you just to come upon them like nobody's business. Just come upon them and just fill them up with the Holy Spirit. just fill them up, fill them up, fill them up, Holy Spirit, fill them up, 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 Holy Spirit, just come upon them, like an iron fist, come upon them, just reveal all the secrets to their heart, to your heart right now, Lord Jesus, just fill them up, Lord Jesus, fill them up, fill them up, thank you.
Hallelujah,
Lord,
hallelujah.
Amen,
hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.
It was a great,
that was good.
It was a great night tonight, Robert. It was a good show.
Yes, amen. Amen. Hey, Stan, can I take the time to tell everybody what God's going to do here at my home in January?
Oh, that's awesome, man. Go ahead.
Hey, I just want to make an announcement that here, 1628 Lee Huss Plain, Lincolnton, North Carolina, on January the 4th, we are kicking off the first service of His Reflection Church here at my home, and I have enough seating for about maybe 25 to 30 people. Planning on having the first service start about 10:30 with worship, and I would say we should be out by 12:30, give or take a few, depending on what Holy Spirit leads us to do. But it's going to be the first service here in our home. My wife and I are excited about being led of the Holy Ghost to start the church here, give people a place to come and feed and eat the goodness of God, because we're going to be preaching Jesus. We're going to be preaching salvation by love. And we're going to show forth the Father's glory in this place with lifting Him up in song, praise, and worship. It's getting ready to happen right here in Lincolnton, North Carolina, January the 4th at His Reflection Church. Amen?
Amen. Amen. And I also want to tell everybody, this Saturday at 10 a.m., we're going to have Todd Crutchfield on. I'm going to be interviewing him. He's also the brother of Chris Crutchfield, which is a co-host on Saturdays, and I think his brother ain't going to be able to help me interview his brother. I mean, I've kind of already know Todd because I went to high school with both of them, so I know him a little bit. So it's going to be easy either way, but I think his brother's going to have to be doing his school ministry thing. They're going to be out ministering somewhere, and he'll probably be out for that day, so we'll just catch him next week. But Todd will be on here, and we will be talking to him about all the different things he's did here lately. I mean, his life has been really booked up here lately. He's got to hang out with Korn, the two guys from the Korn group that actually got saved. He got to hang out with them and got to hear their testimonies and got to hear all that stuff, and he will be talking about that. He'll be talking about the glory stuff he's been in, like jewels from heaven, all types of interesting things he's going to be talking about that the Lord has been putting on him. And he's going to be sharing his own testimony and all types of unique things. And he's worked with Todd Bentley for a while. So he'll have a lot of things to talk about and to really share with y'all. So it's going to be an amazing interview. And I really say, you know, tell everybody just to listen in, and you'll get to hear a lot of cool things from his life and some things he could share to help y'all. So we'll see you Saturday at 10 a.m. Everybody, you know, tune in and listen to the show, and, you know, you'll get to learn some new things, you know, that Todd's got the experience that the Lord has did with his life. And it was good to have you on the show. It was good to have you on the show today, Robert, and it's always a pleasure every Wednesday. And
thank you.
I'm really excited about your church. I'm excited that you have got the okay from the Lord to get this going. And, you know, anytime the Lord's hand is in it, you know, you'll see things blow up. And
yes,
you're going to see a thing catch on fire. So,
yes,
you know, so it's good to hear that. And I know you have a lot of people supporting you, and I'm sure that thing's going to go good. And I really
yes,
put
amen.
My blessings upon that too, Robert.
Thank
and,
you, Stan.
And we'll see y'all Saturday. God bless every one of y'all. And I'm going to go ahead and play one of the guys' songs from Elevate Nation. It's always the Holy Spirit song. I like that song they play, and I'm going to go ahead and play it and let y'all enjoy it. I'll see y'all Saturday.
Good night.
time.
Fire started a revival.
Yeah,
and
all that's within me.